You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 40 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, October 8th, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are blessed to be able to host this weekly show about technology and its potential impact on your ministry. Hello, Sally.
Hey, Martin. How's it going this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited because I just checked out our Facebook page for the Wells Tech group, and we have 85 members in our Facebook group.
Is that right?
So that's exciting to see. The listenership is growing a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and that's a great segue because we're going to be talking about social networks on the show today. Sally, do you participate in a lot of social networks?
Well, mainly Facebook and one called LinkedIn, which we're going to talk about a little bit later with our interview segment in today's show.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I do not spend a lot of time in social networks. I'm a member of many of them because I try them out. You know, I get invited, and you have to join to kind of see what they're all about. And, you know, in my position, it's probably good to at least know what's going on out there. I'd say of all of them, LinkedIn is probably the one I spend the most time in because it's more business related. And our interview this morning is going to be with Andy Thimer, who has a LinkedIn group. But I do spend a little bit of time on Facebook. Back in the MySpace days, I had an account there, but did very little on that. I mean, some of those were, you know, to be honest, not aimed at my age group. So, and LinkedIn probably is a little bit more, but there's probably a new social network born every day, don't you think?
That's true. There's a lot of niche social networks that appeal to just about any of your interests that are out there. And we're going to talk about some today that you can even create your own social network on. Mm-hmm. So if you can't find one that you like, you can start one up yourself.
Yeah. So let's dive right in. Of course, we want to have this conversation in the context of ministry and how social networks can have an impact on your either personal or congregational ministry. So let's begin there. Social networks in the church. Now, churches are all about obviously sharing God's word and gathering around God's word. So they have kind of a built-in social network. We call it fellowship. Now we're talking about taking some of that fellowship concept online, which is the concept of social network, and obviously with a religious bent as far as the church is concerned. Is that something that's happening now? Or, Sally, where do you see that, you know, in today's, let's say, the Wells of today?
Well, I think it's certainly something that we should be looking at. In terms of the Wells of today exist in this digital age. Mm-hmm. And so even if some of us are a little bit behind the curve in terms of going digital and that kind of thing, I think our future is definitely going to be strongly influenced and integrated with the use of digital communication. And so things like discussions can be extended from your Bible class or sermons or whatever. Mm-hmm. By going online with the discussions. Church family communication. We are family in Christ. We want to communicate with one another. Why not use these tools for prayer requests, for right. just important issues that are going on in your church to extend the conversation there in this digital mechanism?
As I look around the Synod, I don't see a lot of congregations with what I would call true social networks that are essentially online. At least I haven't heard about them. There's a few. And then there's probably many more that are just thinking about it but haven't really done anything about it. But one thing I think is common is that a lot of our members across all of our churches are involved with social networks. And we talked about some of those before: Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, Orkut. All of those are sites that our members are participating in. And as our membership becomes more and more filled with digital natives, as we've talked about in the past, I think that's going to be more the norm than it is the exception. So I think you touched on an important topic here, and that's kind of an extension of existing ministry, because we've built some of these networks already, you know, within the church, whether they be Bible study or what I would call affinity groups, you know, moms groups, those groups that get together, you know, the owls, you know, those kinds of groups that get together around a common interest, and extending those into the digital environment. So maybe we could start talking about where you get started. If you're interested in social networking or kind of adding this extension, you know, to your congregation in an online way, maybe the most basic of those kinds of things is for boards and committees and those kinds of groups just doing file sharing. More of a, I would call it an intranet-based kind of network, where you're trying to figure out a place for online storage of information that would be of interest. Many of our congregations do that with newsletters and those kinds of things, but we're really talking about something that's more internal, something where, and we'll talk more about this later, where you have a login and a password, where the information there is really just for your smaller group. So file sharing is maybe where our congregations, many of them probably already are.
Right. And I'm thinking as you're talking, Martin, that we're kind of looking at graduating from the Web 1.0 way of doing things, which I think we've all done file sharing
right.
via email, via long trains of email that travel around and get forwarded on and those kind of things, you know. So moving away from that more rudimentary process of using email to do these kind of communications to actually going web-based with your file sharing and your communication and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe the next step, as we're talking about this two-way conversation that needs to happen for a true social network to be born, and we've talked about this in the past, is forms. Forms are a good way, I think, to start the flow. Rather than just feeding your membership with information, which is basically a 1.0 website, a form is a good way to collect or begin a two-way dialogue. Some of the basic uses of forms are, let's say, requesting member information. We've used that in our church. You know, here's a way to update your information for us so that we can keep our records, our church directory, up to date. Another way I can think of are just surveys. What do you think about? You know, kind of the old suggestion box concept. So always have a form out there for your members to use. One thing we found to be extremely popular on the synod level is our Q&A. So our question and answer section is extremely popular. A lot of people come to wells.net just for that. So, you know, maybe a congregation could do something like that, an ask the pastor form. Maybe that would serve as a cue for different Bible study topics.
Great idea, Martin. We've used various forms on our church website as well. One that comes to mind is just signing up for flowers. Anything right. that you want to gather information from your people about, a web form is a great way to do it. They can still do it the old-fashioned way. They can come and sign up on the flower calendar that's hung up in church as well. But just adding that extra digital extension of that allows to your members easier communication via the web.
Mm-hmm. So with file sharing and forms, we're really still just on the tip of the iceberg, because it's still, you know, somewhat anonymous and one-to-one. It's not you're not sharing much with the greater population, so it's really not social in that aspect. I guess an important component, at least from my vantage point for social networks, is profiles, right? The ability for you to share information about yourself with others. And I think that is a great way for other members to get to know each other a little bit better, especially in large congregations, but I think in small and medium-sized congregations too, where typically you may see a large segment of the congregation only on in a formal worship setting. So you're there on Sunday morning at the same service, and you know people look familiar, but you really can't put much behind that face, and sometimes you can't even put a name with a face. So profiles are a way for members to share a little bit about themselves and kind of increase that social dynamic within a church.
Right, and you certainly can depend on some of these more public social networking sites to provide that kind of a component to mm-hmm. your social networking. For instance, on Facebook, you build your profile, you have a place to put in your photo, put in the things you like, and those kind of things. But you can also come up with some solutions that are more internal to just your congregation, using something like Concordia Technologies Member Connect system, mm-hmm. or even Unifier, which is a product that you profiled earlier this year, Martin, that's designed for membership connections in this way.
Yeah, that takes, you know, Unifier and Member Connect both probably take it to the next level, where it's a community, and community members can, you know, on the fly build their own affinity group. So if there's a mom out there who wants to start a, you know, mama preschoolers group, you know, they could easily do that. And sometimes those social networks lead to physical networks too, so it works, you know, in reverse. So I guess one of the questions that I have in my mind, Sally, before we talk about some specific uses of social networks, is to password protect or not, or to use external sites like Yahoo Groups or Google Groups or not. There are so many social networking pieces of software out there already, and I think we've in our pre-show conversation we talked about Ning. Maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about Ning in a second. But you know, how do you set this up? Do you put this behind closed doors? Do you use a public service where everybody needs another username and login? What do you think?
That's a real challenge, Martin. And in some of my notes as I was doing research for this show, I wrote down this big question mark that said, you know, how do you administer this? How mm-hmm. do you support these members? How do you get them all in the same place at the same time, maintain their accounts for them, help them set up their accounts if they need it, that kind of thing. And I think the big key to social networking is that it is an investment, and it's an investment that's going to work if other people are willing to invest in it as well. So mm-hmm. you need to make it as simple as possible. You need to adopt, you know, one platform and really sink yourself into that rather than being spread across all these different possible, you know, having a Yahoo group as well as a Facebook group and all these different things. You know, just center into one of them. Yep. And make your instructions really simple for your members. Make them want to go there, you know, put great content there, you know, encourage them to go there, help them understand what they're going to get by, you know, investing in that social network, and then just really be focused on that one delivery mechanism rather than being spread too thin.
Yep. I'm going to recommend, and I just, you know, and just thinking through this a little bit, I'm going to recommend that for most congregations, it's probably best to have this on your own website. Rather than create a Yahoo group or a Google group or a Facebook or LinkedIn group that you point your members to, I'm going to suggest that be internal, that be on your site, you know, through discussion forums or whatever tools you have at your disposal. Final Web has some tools there too if you're a Final Web subscriber. And I'm going to suggest it for this reason. It gets members used to coming to your site. You really have stuff that you want them to read, become involved with, you know, looking at the church calendar, the activities, being part of this community. And if you're sending them off to another community, you're driving them away from your site. And I think that's just kind of a 101 strategy of websites. Look for reasons to draw your members to your site, where now you have the ability to communicate with them on a lot of different levels. So if you have the facility to do that, I would suggest, you know, trying to bake that in, you know, to your own site, as it were.
Great suggestion, Martin. I think then you're going to be managing something that you have a lot more control over because you own your site, as opposed to depending on the rules and advertisements and all those kind of things that come along with the more public sites that you could adopt. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an excellent choice for our congregations to keep it internalized and drive the traffic to your own site.
Yep. And Unifier and Member Connect are sites that can be integrated, so I would think that they would serve that purpose, even though they may not look like your, let's say, your external facing website, if you're using Final Web, for instance. Now, I mentioned Ning.com. What is Ning.com?
Well, Ning.com is a site where you can create your own social network. It's basically design your own. Everyone can go there just to your particular social network that's customized for your needs. Mm-hmm. So, and it comes along with discussion forums and blogs and the ability to post photos and videos. Everyone has their own profile there, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And it's a really simple, free Web 2.0 way to create your own customized social network, potentially for your congregation or school.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to wrap the conversation up here, the concept of usage, how do you attract, how do you craft a social network that people are going to use? We talked about an extension of something that you're already doing, and one thing that comes to my mind, and Sally, chime in here with your thoughts too, are Bible study groups. Obviously, every church has Bible study groups. Some have, you know, one on Sunday morning. Some have multiples throughout the week. In my position, I get to do a little bit of church visiting. I was out at one of our churches near the Madison area. They have 7 Bible classes on Sunday morning. And I don't know if that's typical, but I know it's not typical for a lot of our congregations, but to offer 7 Bible classes, there are 7 affinity groups right there, 7 social networks of people coming together around a particular topic, 7 opportunities to, again, extend them. You could do this for sermons as well. There you have a group that's heard the same thing. It could either be a group that gets around last week's sermon to talk about it, or the upcoming week's sermon if you want to do a little bit of preparation. There are lots of ways to, I think, increase interest in these kinds of things. You know, maybe you give homework in a Bible study, or, you know, we've talked with Gail Potratz in the past, we've talked about web quests. You know, give them an assignment that they can do some research. Maybe go to the Q&A on the Synod site to look up some tougher questions, maybe kind of 201 kinds of questions or 301 types of questions that go a little bit deeper, and those people that are interested in doing that can answer and research those intriguing questions.
Those are all great ideas, Martin. One that came to mind for me that would be real relevant in our congregation, we've adopted the Through My Bible in 3 Years mm-hmm. Reading plan, and we do start all of our weekly Bible classes by just a brief discussion of the past week's Bible readings. We really want the people to be in the Word, and having that daily connection via a social networking kind of mechanism would be an awesome way to all, you know, gather around the same Bible reading of the day and just have a little bit of discussion and keep it fresh and in their minds each day as they're doing their Bible readings. Mm-hmm. So lots of potential there for just enhanced communication with the awesome tools that are provided for us these days.
Right. Before we leave the topic, I just looked at my notes here, and one thing that I really wanted to encourage our listeners to think about if they're selecting a tool or using a tool is don't downplay the importance of notification. Part of the challenge, I think, in growing a social network is people that are involved having to go back to it and remember to go back to it over and over and over again. If you have some kind of notification, whether it be email, RSS, or whatever, that notifies the people in that group that a new post has been made or somebody new has joined or some, you know, this discussion is going on, I think that's huge. You know, the ability, and that's one of the reasons that I stay kind of connected to LinkedIn, is I get notified when people join my network or make requests or do things on the network. And I think that is probably a big win when you're talking about social networks, is make sure that you're using a tool that can auto-notify, if people so chose, about those kinds of events. Just kind of, just a little reminder. You know, maybe it only comes once a week or a couple times a week or whatever. Just that little thing in your inbox that says, hey, there's stuff going on here.
You know, I think that's really true. And I think one thing that we've probably all experienced in this digital age is just being a little bit leery of joining another thing or right. having another account or whatever. And for one reason, it's because of the longevity. Who's really going to be invested in this mechanism, and how long is this going to last? Is this just something someone's playing with and it's going to die away in a week or two or whatever? And when you have that regular communication that keeps you connected, that's when I think you really start to see the network grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've experienced that with our web hosting community, where we have over 400 congregations, you know, using the Final Web hosting solution, and just regularly communicating with them over the last couple of years has, you know, kind of established the fact that we're here to stay and we're invested in this, and they keep coming back and they keep communicating, they keep learning and growing from that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that regular communication really kind of speaks to your investment in that mechanism.
Yeah, you've made an investment, but it's going to take effort to keep it going too.
It absolutely
doesn't always happen by itself. Yeah, for sure. Very good. Well, let's continue our conversation about social networks. And we had a chance a little bit ago to sit down with Andy Thimer, who is a Wells member who has invested some time in creating a group called In Wells on the LinkedIn network. We talked a little bit about LinkedIn in our previous conversation here, and he was good enough to sit down with us and talk about what he is doing there and why he did it. Let's listen to the interview. Joining us today is Andy Thimer, Wells member and LinkedIn user. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Thank you for having me, Martin.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit, especially about your participation in LinkedIn and a relatively new concept on LinkedIn, and that's the concept of groups. And you've started a group called In Wells. But before we get into that, Andy, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you go to church, you know, what you do for a living, et cetera. You know, the kind of the name, rank, and serial number kind of things.
Well, that sounds like a good place to start. Well, I'm originally from Appleton, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and grew up at Riverview Lutheran Church there. And moved down to Milwaukee in the late 1990s and attended Wisconsin Lutheran College, which is where I have my bachelor's degree from.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've been working with various software and technology companies, and currently work at a company, or I'm a partner in a company called T-60, which is a consulting firm that works with early stage software and biotech companies, helping them grow their sales and really enhance their marketing and sales efforts to grow their business.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of along the lines of that, I'm interested in a lot of geeky words like SEO and social media and community building and using the web to help connect people for various reasons. One, to, you know, drive bottom line business sales and mm-hmm. revenue, but also just to connect people with various interests and common interests especially. And it really leads me to really the In Wells group, which, mm-hmm. Of course, our common interest there is our faith.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So when you were at WLC, did you have a marketing major, communications? How did you transition from that to what you're doing now?
I have a general Bachelor of Business Administration.
Okay.
And it just kind of naturally, time and place, took up the web as a great place to start new businesses and an exciting asset to the business world,
right.
And kind of just never let go once I got started in it.
Right. You know, everything today kind of leads to the web and the internet and the communication tools that are becoming so prevalent now. And one of those tools that's, you know, really kind of positioned itself in the business space is LinkedIn. So maybe you could explain to our listeners what LinkedIn is, at least from your vantage point.
Absolutely. Think of LinkedIn as an online resume, if you will. It's also a community, but it's based on millions and millions of professional online resumes, and it's completely free. And it allows you to not only post and fill out a questionnaire based on the jobs you've had, the companies you've worked for, but it also goes so far as you can actually connect yourself with other people that you may have worked with, and also allows you to attach yourself to different interests, and those are the groups. Where InWells comes in is that for a Wells professional that has filled out their online resume for free at LinkedIn, they can then join InWells and then be able to search other Wells members' profiles and then email them, contact with them, and ask them specific questions or for help on different initiatives.
Now, at its basic core, and I'm a LinkedIn member and have been for a couple years, although I don't have near as many connections, so-called, or first-level connections as a lot of people do. I'm just looking on my site now. I've got 85 connections, and, you know, that's, I guess the concept is you're building a network of first, second, third level connections, and you know, use it for business purposes. You know, a lot of salespeople are on LinkedIn, but it's a way to grow a network and stay connected with individuals, similar to maybe what Facebook does, but on a more professional level. So, just looking at my page, I've got 85 first level connections, and then second level would be essentially those 85 connections that branch out, and it's got 10,000, and then ultimately my network, I think, is, you know, third level, 1 million, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's kind of a cool concept, and I think it works pretty well. I stay connected with individuals within my network, people that, you know, I've either worked with or went to school with or have some kind of professional relationship with. And Andy, I'm just noticing I don't have you in my LinkedIn network, although I joined a group that you started called InWells. Maybe you can give us a little bit of background on that and how groups work within LinkedIn.
Absolutely. The groups are actually a fairly new feature, as you alluded to earlier, Martin. They added the groups in the last probably year, and in my opinion, it's probably one of the best features that they've added because it allows individuals that are passionate about a specific topic, if you will, everything from a common faith to school alumni groups to having worked at a particular company in the past, so maybe it's a corporate alumni group, or maybe it's just an interest in model trains or, you know, airplanes, something is more social-based like that. But the groups allow you to find other people that share a like interest, and they've even added the ability to now have a running discussion inside of those groups. So there's a, for example, the InWells, there's actually a discussion board inside of LinkedIn that members of the InWells group can actually post questions and write replies and respond without even emailing. So it's more of a public forum for asking questions and interacting with other people that have the same types of interests.
So how well is InWells taking off? Do you have a lot of members yet, and are the discussion forums being used in this way?
The discussion forums are a really new feature. It's only been in for maybe 3 weeks now since LinkedIn actually added that feature. So I haven't had much time myself to get out there and you know, start dragging people into it. I think the InWells group last time I checked was hovering right around 50 members, which is definitely a lot more Wells professionals out there I know that can sign up for free and get involved. But growing it organically and just, you know, telling people that I run into and, you know, telling them to tell their friends and trying to grow it more in a viral sense at this point is all that I've been able to do. So I'm hoping to build that group up as far as we can to help Wells members interact with each other.
And is that really the concept? So we're looking at Wells professionals, people who are potentially in business. It's not meant to be just your run-of-the-mill social network per se. where you mentioned people who love trains, those kinds of things, but it's more maybe on the business level. So how do you see this ultimately being used? Why should somebody join in Wells?
Yeah, great question. And as I mentioned, I really started it for out of a frustration that, that when I want to work with somebody or when I want to hire somebody, the first place I'd like to look is I'd like to look to people that I know believe the same as I do.
Mm-hmm.
They're my ideal person to do business with. And, well, the challenge arose, how do you find those people?
Right.
Other than your local church or, the directory that you have there, I didn't find a whole lot out there, going back to, Wisconsin Lutheran College in my case as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started up the group and started inviting, all of my friends that are in the professional space to it and tried to get them to encourage everybody else they knew to get involved. Once somebody joins LinkedIn, as I mentioned, you can search their professional background, which is really important in my mind to the evolution and the uses of the In Wells group,
mm-hmm.
and actually having a lot of benefits down the road. And an example of that is the Federation of Wells Churches was looking to create an advisory board for an initiative not too long ago. And they were looking for somebody with nonprofit experience, basically getting donations and
mm-hmm.
different types of operations associated with a nonprofit group. Well, instead of just guessing at how to do that, I showed them how to search the In Wells group and locate people that had nonprofit listed in their background somewhere. So finding an individual that had worked for a nonprofit before or maybe is able to answer those questions that a lot of times end up getting guessed at rather than being able to find somebody that maybe has some industry experience that can help answer those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting concept.
I can think of, just from my vantage point, we in the Synod office here have had an open position for a database administrator slash programmer, .NET programmer, and we really struggle on the Synod level to, in the technical space to find qualified professionals, technical professionals who are, our first preference again would be Wells.
Right.
So I can envision using a network like this, and maybe that professional isn't in LinkedIn or maybe directly connected to In Wells, for instance, but somebody within that network may have connections with people who have that skill set and might be interested in working for the Synod.
Yeah, that's a great point. And actually, LinkedIn really, when it initially grew as a network, it grew for the recruiting purpose that you just mentioned. That's where some of the first people that really saw the value in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point. And two, I agree. It goes back to, the Wells at your headquarters, you want to hire Wells people, but, even in my public life, I'd rather do business with somebody that I know shares the same belief as me,
mm-hmm.
and I'd rather, hire them or offer them, jobs before I go out looking through the newspaper. So,
how do you use it personally? Is that how you use it personally, in your line of work, or do you use it at this point?
I use it personally more for gaining insight into topics that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if I, as a consultant, if I engage with a new company and it's an area that I don't know a whole lot about, I very often will go out and search LinkedIn for people that list experience in the area that the new company works in. And
mm-hmm.
I may, read through a few of their resumes or their profiles and look for somebody that looks like they have the necessary experience. And then LinkedIn allows you to email them or introduce yourself and ask them if they're willing to help,
mm-hmm.
answer a question or two. And very often, and I've had tremendous success. I'd say 4 out of 5 times that person writes back and communicates and, answers my question, as long as it's not, a whole essay that I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I use it a lot for industry intelligence in my life. I also use it for finding sales leads and information, and then also for the recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Sally, you're on LinkedIn. Have you actually used it to any great degree? What's been your experience?
Well, I actually got started with LinkedIn using the groups feature because there was a group of mine manager enthusiasts that I wanted to join up with so that I could get more ideas for fully using the mind mapping software that I use. And then it kind of grew from there. I started doing some searching back to previous jobs and things like that and was able to connect with some coworkers that I hadn't had contact with for 20 years. So that was pretty amazing to make those connections and see where they've gone with their professional careers. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's more of the social aspect of it, but also just connecting, you know, as Andy was saying, with those that have expertise in different fields and being able to tap into that expertise, go back to people that I know in certain fields and be able to ask them questions and things has been a real powerful feature of the site.
Yeah. LinkedIn makes it real easy, and obviously it's to their benefit to get as many people on the network as possible. But when you sign up for LinkedIn, it offers you the ability to search through your address book, for instance, or your other tools that you use that you collect information on people or email even, and then kind of builds a network, and then you can send automated invitations out to them to either join the network or link with you. And then you can search if you build this resume, you can have it search those associations. So if it's a school or if it's a previous job, you can go and find previous associates. And what I'm now finding is that a lot of the tools, you know, the Web 2.0 tools and even some of the tools that we've talked about on the show are beginning to connect up with LinkedIn and network with LinkedIn users. So, for instance, so I've mentioned Xobni before, X-O-B-N-I, which is an Outlook plugin. Now they've connected up with LinkedIn so that when I see a person's profile within my Xobni, right in Outlook, there's a via LinkedIn connection where it'll actually suck in information about that person if they have a LinkedIn profile. So it's all kind of getting connected, and I think for the business that we're in and for people who are interested in kind of expanding social networks and staying connected with people and getting together with folks for different purposes, whether they be professional or personal, all these tools are beginning to work together. So I would think, Andy, for people like yourself, that's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had tremendous success, and even though I've been probably on the site for 5-6 years, and the first couple of years I really didn't use it a whole lot. It's really in the last year or two that, like you mentioned, as more and more, the more people that join, the is created there. So, and also, the fact is that it's the basic functionality of the site is free. Mm-hmm. So that while they do offer upgrades, if you want to contact, a lot of people a month or do some different things or are paying levels, but the basic create your resume, join groups, all that functionality is, free.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Which is terrific as well.
So if somebody wanted to join the group that you've started called In Wells, how would they do that?
Well, probably the easiest way to do it is to head back to the Wells blog that you're running, and I have a banner that I can give you, or a little patch, I guess, that will initiate the join procedure.
Sure.
And creates that link. Otherwise, you're a member, Martin, and I know I am, and Sally, if you're not, we'll get you in there soon. But by finding any of our profiles on LinkedIn, you'll be able to scroll down and see the group we're in and then join.
So you just do a search once they're within LinkedIn for groups called In Wells. And
you can do that as well.
Okay.
Yep. Good point.
And you join, and then I guess the more people that are in there, the more active the group becomes with discussion threads and connections that can be made once you're in a group, because just because you're in a group doesn't automatically connect you to a particular person. So
correct.
Very
good. Yep. Great point.
Andy, thanks for your time today explaining a little bit more about what LinkedIn is, and we'll follow the progress, and hopefully we'll see some of our listeners on the In Wells group as a result. So thanks for joining us, Andy.
No problem. Thank you, Martin and Sally.
Yep. Well, once again, thanks to Andy for spending that time with us. The revolution, as it were, or evolution of social networks is interesting to watch, and he's jumped in with both feet, and I think there will be interest in this, and we've seen that in other groups where Wells members have met around Facebook groups and now LinkedIn groups, so it'll be interesting to watch that.
Just a really neat network of business-minded people on the LinkedIn side. Mm-hmm. So it's great to make those kind of connections for your business life as well. Mm-hmm. Andy provided us with an icon to link to the LinkedIn in Wells group, and we've posted that in our sidebar on the Wells Tech website. So if you're interested in finding out more about In Wells and possibly joining it on LinkedIn, you can find that link in our sidebar available there on the Wells Tech website.
Great. Let's move right along, Sally. It's time for our picks of the week. What is your pick this week?
Well, I'm going to point our listeners to kind of a social site called LiveMocha.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah, tying in with our theme for this week is livemocha.com. And LiveMocha is a place to learn a new language. Actually, they offer information in 11 different languages, including French and German, Italian, Japanese, Mandarin Chinese, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and even Icelandic. So if you're craving to learn Icelandic language, you can even learn that on livemocha.com. What's neat about this site is that there is a social component to it. And as you sign up for the site, you're encouraged to establish a profile, you know, let people know what your interests are and those kind of things. And basically connect with other people on LiveMocha, because a big component of the learning is actually chatting with and connecting with those who are native speakers in a particular language that you're studying. I know for a lot of our mission work, we'll send someone to be trained, and they'll do what's called immersion language training, where they go to a country and they live in a home with a family, and they are just surrounded by the language. And that's what they're trying to accomplish with this LiveMocha site. They're trying to immerse you, including that component of actually being able to connect to native speakers and have conversations with them via the website. I went through the process of creating an account and signed up for some Spanish training, which is actually something I'd love to get. We have a large Hispanic community here in Sleepy Eye, and learning more Spanish would be an excellent way to reach out to that community. Went through the process. When I signed up, there were 4 Spanish courses available, Spanish 101, 102, 201, and 202, for a total of 160 hours of training that you can actually get for free via this website. And it's a really neat site. You gain Mocha points along the way, so you can build up your credibility basically in the site as you do more on the site and as you share more with others via the social networking, so that you can actually evaluate people and see if they've actually got some legitimate language training under their belt before you add them as friends and things. A neat twist with that Web 2.0 social aspect added into language learning. So I encourage you to check it out. It's at livemocha.com.
Great. Very good. Mm-hmm. Caffeinated pick of the week. All right, my pick is a beta program called Woopra. Almost everything's in beta these days, so maybe that doesn't mean much, but this truly is in beta because you have to sign up and then wait to be accepted. Woopra, W-O-O-P-R-A, is Google Analytics on, I'd call it Google Analytics on steroids. it is truly a real... And maybe it's a little bit different than Google Analytics because it is real time. In essence, you go to Woopra.com and you sign up your website. And then we had to wait like 2 or 3 weeks for them to get back to us and approve our account for Wells.net, for instance. But you give them all of the specs on your website, and then ultimately they give you some code back that you put on your page, and away you go. You download an application. There's a web component too, but the downloadable application is way cool. Basically, it's a whole dashboard of information about your site at any point in time. So, for instance, I'm looking right now at Wells.net, and it is 9:40 in the morning here, and we have 40 visitors on the site right now. It gives you all-time visits from the time that you started. Today's visits, for instance, right now we have had 1,214 visitors on Wells.net so far today. Total page views, 2,992. And you get a running total. So you kind of have a ticker tape of all kinds of data, whether it's up or down from the previous time period, whatever that time period is that you set. And then all kinds of cool information about the visitors on your site. First of all, what browser they're using, what operating system they're using, what country they live in, what city they live in. For instance, right now there's somebody from Maguanago, Wisconsin. Now I see somebody from West Bend. What language they're using, English in this case. What browser type, what their screen resolution is. How they got to your site. Did they come via a search term on Google or Yahoo? And it'll tell you what that search term was. And then it tracks the history of that particular visitor. How many times they visited? How many page views? The average page views per visit. Was it 1, 2, 3, 10? The total time they've spent on your site. I'm looking at a visitor now who has spent 19 minutes and 12 seconds total time. And then the average visit time over the course of their visit. So all kinds of data. You can really get great information. And then they do it in a very pleasing graphical format. So there's a little map of the world. So you can kind of see where in the world your visitors are coming from. So as I look over this map and you hover over it, I see somebody from Sofia, Bulgaria is visiting the Wells.net site. And where, you know, how many people per country at any given time. And then you can do all kinds of analysis. So you can see all of the search queries that people have used to get to your site to see how effective it is. Visit duration, how many people stay 0 to 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, what pages they viewed, and so on and so forth. Very, very informative. If you're looking to determine how well is your site doing, is it hitting your intended audience, you could easily see, you know, are most of my visitors from my community? Are they from Milwaukee, for instance? Or are they from, you know, two states away? And maybe that impact isn't as great, and maybe your website isn't hitting the people that you need it to hit. Where they came into your website, what pages they spend the most time on, where they left your website. So what page were they on when they closed their browser or went to another website? Just a ton of interesting information. Again, that's Woopra, Woopra.com. You'd have to sign up and then wait for them to get back to you, but they will, I think. They certainly did for us, and I think just a really valuable tool if you're interested in, you know, who's on your site at any given time. Another cool feature is that you can start a conversation, a chat, with anybody coming to your site. So you just click on, you see who the visitor is. You don't know them by name. You know them by location and some of the other demographic information. You can see if they've been there before. But you could click on start a conversation link, and up pops a little box on their screen, and you can start chatting away with them. I think maybe you've seen that on some support websites or some shopping sites where somebody will initiate a conversation with you. Woopra does the same thing.
Pretty impressive, Martin. As you're talking, I'm reminded of an email I sent once to our web hosting community where I encouraged them to consider having a web communications committee in their congregations. And I could see, you know, that type of committee really digging into the analytical side of Woopra and being able to come up with some great you know, information that would help them as they do their ministry via the web.
Yeah, absolutely. So Woopra.com, check it out. It's free right now. As far as I can tell, it will stay free for at least some capacity. But it's really good real time information about your website. You've made this investment in your website. You might as well figure out whether it's working for you. So, and where to spend more time or energy, or where to spend less time or energy. So check it out. Up next, our Wells.net feature of the week. Sally, what's up this week?
Well, today I wanted to point our listeners to the Synod Yearbook. Many of you are probably familiar with the Synod Yearbook that's published each year in print from Northwestern Publishing House. But there's also an online version of the Synod Yearbook that you can find at wells.net/jump/yearbook. The Synod Yearbook is a fantastic reference. It has all Wells organizations, churches, schools, and called workers, both pastors and teachers. So you're going to want to have this if you're trying to communicate with any of those organizations or called workers. But you're also going to want to reference it if you're traveling or moving to a new area or anything like that. This is just the place to go to be able to make contact with different Wells groups. And what's neat about the online version is that it's updated on a weekly basis. So the print version comes out once a year, and it's in print, and we can't change it except on that yearly basis. But the more current information, if there are changes throughout the year, are always available on the online version. It's in PDF format, broken up by the different areas that are part of the yearbook. For instance, you can look at the active pastors versus the retired pastors versus the male teachers or the female teachers, that kind of thing. And then within the PDF documents, you can use the search functions there to easily jump to what you're looking for. So if you're trying to find a congregation in Milwaukee, Oregon, for instance, that's one I was just looking for recently, you can just quickly jump to that and using the find functions in the PDF document. So a great resource at your fingertips, digital, is the Synod Yearbook. Again, it's at wells.net/jump/yearbook.
And for those of you who do buy the print copy every year, things do change, obviously, through the course of the year. So if you're looking for the latest information, that online version does have it. It gets updated at least quarterly. It may be more frequently than that. So Synod Yearbook online. Great. Thanks, Sally. Mm-hmm. Wanted to remind our listeners about our ongoing contest. Our current contest is you tell us via a voicemail what your digital devices that are in your kind of tool of or your tool chest of products or what am I looking for? what you use on a day in and day out basis for your classroom or Bible class. What kind of technology tools you use. So if you would call us with that voicemail, we'll play it on the air. We will extend the contest through this weekend. So midnight Sunday is the deadline for you to give us a ring. And Sally, you're going to have to remind me of the phone number. You have it there?
I've got it right here,
awesome.
Martin. It's 414-375-2334.
And the winner receives a $15 gift certificate to the Wells Tech store, and that would allow you to buy a Wells Tech t-shirt. Who wouldn't want one of those? Sally noticed that you gave one of our staff members a Wells Tech bib at a shower recently here. Very cool.
That's right. That's right. Nothing like shameless promotion, Mark.
So send us a voicemail. Very easy to do, and you will be entered into the contest. Again, midnight Central Time to the Wells Tech hotline, as it were.
The bat phone.
That's right.
I have another thing to share with our listeners in terms of promotion. This is just a conference that I came across that's happening online. It's a K-12 online conference, and it's looking at ways, innovative ways, that Web 2.0 tools and technologies can be used to improve learning. So if you're interested in that, maybe you didn't get a chance to physically attend a conference this summer, or you're just looking for some new ideas for your classroom online learning opportunities, that kind of thing. The conference is starting with a pre-conference keynote on October 13th. That's next Monday, so coming up quickly. And in the next 2 weeks after that, there'll be over 40 presentations posted online, online discussion around those, blogging and that kind of thing. And just a great way that the topics cover just every aspect of digital learning. You can find all of this online at K12onlineconference.org, and I'll make sure and include a link to that in our show notes.
Great. Thanks, Sally. Who's talking to us this week that we can share with the other listeners?
This is one of my favorite parts of the show, Martin. I love it when people talk to us, and we do have a lot to share this week. First of all, we heard from Cindy Krieger. Cindy's a regular listener. She's from Shepherd of the Hills in Lansing, Michigan, and she sent us a link to the Climate Savers Computing Initiative, a national effort by Dell, EDS, Google, HP, Intel, Lenovo, Microsoft, and more, where they're looking at ways to increase energy efficiency and more efficient computer equipment. This is a follow-up to our show last week where we went green, and Cindy says this is a great website that you may want to check out. Just lots of educational resources there on saving energy cost. We also heard from Ryan Rosenthal. He's from Faith Lutheran School in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and he had a suggestion for a future show about computer maintenance, things like removing viruses and adware, keeping the computer registry clean, and that kind of thing. I think that's a great show idea. I know we all deal with that on a regular basis, so hopefully, Martin, you and I can put together some resources and share some ideas along those lines in the future.
Sure.
Another listener, Pastor Scott Muse, posted a comment on our Wells Tech website just saying that he had found us and he was happily listening, looking at some of the open source alternatives that we've been talking about on the show and working his way through previous podcasts. So we're happy to have you join our listening audience, Pastor Muse, and hope that we can be some benefit to your ministry. And he's actually the one I was looking for in Milwaukee, Oregon. Mm-hmm. He's at Amazing Grace in Milwaukee, Oregon. So welcome to Wells Tech.
Scott, you have a lot of catching up to do. We are on episode 40, so.
That's right.
That brings up a good point. If you're interested in, I mean, if you're a new listener, maybe, and this is not a show where you have to listen every week or you miss something because we basically start over every week. But if there's some things that you have specific interest in as far as technology is concerned in the context of ministry, our website is a great place to go to because we list all of the previous shows, all of the links, everything basically about what we talked about in a particular show. Very good search bar there where you can type in a search term if you're interested in, you know, open source or hosting or, you know, whatever the technology topic is that you're looking for. Great place to go. That's wellstech.wells.net.
That's right, Martin. I search it all the time and find all kinds of cool things. Another cool link on that site, in the sidebar, there's a link to a compilation list of all of our picks of the week. And having done this for 40 shows now, we have quite a list of great software and hardware picks that I find really useful, and I'm able to send people there and, you know, hopefully solve some of their needs with some great picks that we've had in the past shows. One more community feedback item I wanted to mention was from David Schumann. He's at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, and he just wrote to us and said he's been listening and learning a lot from the webcast, and one thing that he found really useful from that Picks of the Week page was FreeMind software, which is free open source mind mapping software. So if you aren't into mind mapping, this is a great way to get started, and I think you'll find it a very useful tool for brainstorming and outlining and that kind of thing.
That's how Sally and I do this show. We mind map it. We used MindJet Mind Manager, which is a purchase product, but we would be really lost without it. It really is a tool that we basically stare at the entire time we're talking to each other. So
that's right. It gets us through it, doesn't it?
And FreeMind is a free open source alternative, which works very well as well. Wanted to let our listeners know what's coming up next week. This will kind of be a new segment on our show to kind of whet the appetite, let you know what we've got in store. And coming up next week, we're going to have actually a two-part interview. So over the next 2 weeks, we had a chance to sit down with Wells Communication Director Joel Hochmuth and Wells Project Manager Alicia Newman, who works on the same team with Joel, talking about two topics. One, the Together newsletter. Many of you probably subscribe to that, something that started when Joel came on board, a very successful electronic newsletter about Synod News. But there's also application for electronic newsletter development and distribution within our congregations and schools. So tune in next week for that. And then the following week, we'll talk a little bit about a big, big project here in the Wells, and that's the Wells.net redesign. And we'll be talking about redesigning websites and how maybe you want to think about redesigning yours. So that's coming up next week. And that should about do it for this week's show. We want to thank everybody for listening once again. Let's close the show with the wonderful music of Revelation, a choir from Wisconsin Lutheran College here in Milwaukee. They're going to be singing God of Wonders from their album We Walk by Faith. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Universe declares your majesty.